What are some, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
What are some roles and characters where you really feel like you were able to properly represent the things that needed to be represented in today's climate?
Yeah. I mean, the first character that comes to mind is a character that I played for Audio Media. For How I Died podcast, I play Eric Mendez. And he is, you know, he doesn't have an accent, but he is a Hispanic character. And I mean, going in immediately, I felt a kinship with him because here's a guy who is a junior, I don't know if he's a junior detective. I think he's just a cop. But he's partnered with, you know, this other character named Crowley, who is the lead detective of this police, you know, force. And he has to go into his job every single day being a person of color and try to toe that line, you know? And that for me, as somebody who's worked in security, was a huge deal. Because the number of times I got, you know, things like, oh, you have to go kick this homeless person out, or you have to go, you know, ID this group of black people for no reason. You sit there and it chips away at you. You know, the amount of work that you have to do. And luckily, we haven't run into anything like that with How I Died. I think we probably at some point will tackle some subjects that are a little bit, you know, in that area. At least I hope. I hope we do, because it's an important discussion to talk about.
Yeah.
Like where a person of color exists in the justice system and how they can do that correctly. And it's just an interesting character to play because he has so much heart, he has so much passion, he has so much drive, and it just feels like jumping into my own skin, you know? It feels like I'm playing myself. And it's so true to me that I love that character. I have bonded with that character and I know that character. But in other places, like, I've gotten to play, you know, characters that are completely opposite of me, that have, you know, absolutely no, you know, no bearing on who I am as a person or my heritage. Like, for instance, in the game Gunhildr, which is going to be hopefully coming out fairly soon, I am playing a character in that who is the narrator of portions of the story that you can hear, and also narrator of the trailer. And he has a Norwegian accent, you know. And it's a totally different character than anything I've ever played. And it's amazing. And it's such a fun way to kind of, like, because again, you realize while playing that character that, like, you know, this isn't me, but it is, you know, this, I am injecting parts of myself into this character to make it real, to make it breathable, to make it tactile, you know, and tangible. And It's just so cool. Like, you don't get any opportunity to do that anywhere else. And that's why, like, I've never pursued screen. I've never pursued stage because, you know, people will look at me and they'll cast me as what they, you know, think I should fit. And that stuff is 90% of the time, I'm just going to be honest, it's the urban youth. It's the drug addict. It's the criminal. It's the criminal who's a dad, so you feel kind of bad for him. It's the abusive boyfriend. Like, it's you know, it's people hear Latino male and they associate us with this inherent violence. And don't get me wrong, I've hurt some motherfuckers in my day, but that isn't my job. That isn't my occupation. And every single one of those guys deserved it. So let's just be honest. So it's disheartening when you see stuff like that. Because I can, and again, those characters exist in media for a reason. And, like, one of my favorite movies is Fruitvale Station. And most of the characters, you know, would in that film play to the urban stereotype. But that's because what the story is about is important. You know, it's about these kids who were really just on a train minding their own business, you know, and got gunned down by a police officer who just felt a certain way about, you know, the color of their skin. And how they talked, how they dressed, where they were going that night, what they did the night before wasn't important. It had absolutely no importance in the story. The important part was that a police officer in a position of power looked at a person of color and said, you don't deserve to live as much as other people here do. And that's one of my favorite films. And so those roles, they have a purpose, but there's gotta be something there, you know? Again, talking about Adiome, there's a character I play for, Saint of Suicides, named Diego Quesada, and he's that kind of character. He's, again, a Latino male, and he does have that, you know, that persona of being violent, but it's because he comes from a home of, you know, being raised around that culture. When people look at you a certain way, you know, when people imagine you a certain way, they get this idea or this narrative about you in their head. That's all they see. You know, when people, you know, decide that they don't like you, it's the same thing. Just like, something that guy did just rubbed me the wrong way, you know? And you can decide in that moment, I don't fuck with that guy. I don't like that guy. And that's fine, but understand that you are taking a piece of that person and you are using that to create an idea that may not be factual. And I've experienced that. I remember when I first got on Voices, one of the first experiences I had, I started getting some work, you know, and it was only three jobs, but it was work, you know. And this guy who was a white guy, who frequently records for Hispanic characters because he can put on the accent, he came at me in my messages. He had found my email somehow, I think. And he emailed me and was just like, hey, what are you doing to get these jobs? And I was like, I'm auditioning. What do you mean? And he was like, yeah, but like, are you gaming the system? Like, are you like, I see you act, you add people on LinkedIn. Are you like, you know, messaging them on LinkedIn and like telling them you'll work for less off platform? And I'm sitting there like,
wow,
why does there have to be any other reason that I got this job over you other than I'm better than you?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. And even then, that's I should take myself back because that's not even necessarily true. I'm not better than that actor, but whoever was casting that role wanted that authentic accent and wanted that authentic experience from an actor who understood that experience. And that's it. I got picked for that role, you know. And that's nothing to say that he can't, you know, do that accent. I think it's a little tacky, but he can totally do that accent.
I think it's very tacky, just for the record.
Agreed. He can do that accent and he can book work off of it and that's fine. You know what I mean? However you secure your bag, man, secure your bag. I'm going to look at you sideways for it, but I'm going to keep that to myself. But yeah, it was like this immediate presumption that I had done something or gamed the system. And I was like, look, man, I tried to be nice. I was like, I auditioned. I got the role. I'm you know, that's it. I don't know what else to tell you. I didn't game the system. I'm sorry if you felt that way. And he fired back and was just like, no, you did. I'm reporting you to the system.
Wow.
And Voices emailed me the next day and was like, hey, this guy messaged us several times. Are you okay? Like, what's going on? And I was like, I send them screenshots of what he sent me. And they were just like, okay, he has been removed from the platform. If he reaches out to you again, let us know. And there were a couple times after that he said some choice words to me. And then I never heard from him again, which is what happens when you're an asshole in this industry, by the way. People just don't ever hear about you ever again. Because 90% of the work that I've gotten, and I'll be completely honest, has been referrals from friends who know that I can do the job, you know, people coming into my DMs one day and just being like, hey, do you have an hour today? We really need to like get this done. And, you know, we're having issues and we just need somebody now. And I'm right there, you know? So when you put on that, when you're that guy, no one wants to work with you. No one wants you in the same room as other people because you're just self-interested. You're only focused on you and you're myopic. You can only see what's in front of you and nothing else. And anything beyond that horizon, you can't fathom to expand beyond. And nobody wants to work with that person. So it was eye-opening for sure to kind of get that. Oh, like, hey, that's where I stand in this community. Got it. Cool. You know?
I for one, as a colleague, I'm very happy and very pleased and like to a degree, like proud that you're seeing this success
Thank you, representation
and progress
Thank
in this
you.
Industry. And I'm certainly in no place to like say that to any. I'm not Rob Paulson. If Rob Paulson told me, I'm proud of you, you're making progress, that would make sense. Sure,
I'd crap my pants.
Come on now.
I'd be like, what? You know who I am?
But as a whole, especially as another person of color who was in the same industry as you, although different avenues, I suppose, lanes, I'm quite proud of the direction that the industry is heading. Only because of the auditions that I'm seeing that are coming out are diversity oriented and focused.
Yeah.
Remote recording is becoming a thing now. Please indicate if you have Source Connect capabilities, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And it's just becoming a more and more mainstream aspect and element of this industry. And I'm ultimately pleased and infinitely pleased to see those keywords pop up in these auditions, both indie as well as AAA and commercials and national and all these things.
And anime. Like, you're seeing these people of color and like not just actors, but characters. Like, I mean, The Great Pretender, what a cast of characters, dude. Like, it's awesome to see characters that are not traditionally represented in media in general, not only being represented by the actors that deserve to play those characters, but also just existing in the same place. And like, fuck you. Like, Hawks is voiced by a black guy. Deal with it. Like, just, that's it. That's it. Get your feelings out of it. That's what's happening now.
Yeah.
You know? And it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm so happy to see it. I mean, even like I was so surprised to see a character like Salazar in The Great Pretender, who is a very Hispanic looking male, you know, brown skin. He's got the mustache. He's got the hair. Like, I was like, oh, that's my uncle. Like, damn, like, what are you doing? I'm like, Justo, what are you doing, bro? What are you doing, dog? Like, it broke my heart. And it also just made me feel so incredibly validated to see these characters just existing in a space that they frankly just have always deserved to exist in.
Yeah.
And it's awesome, man. I'm so happy to see the industry moving in a way that is inclusive of people. I mean, even transgender actors who are getting the opportunity to voice characters that match the gender they represent.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. Huge. And like the fact that companies from across seas are even jumping on board with that are amazing. I had a session the other day with a Japanese client over the line, and I was working with a director, and there was a line that was slightly culturally insensitive. Like, not like in a huge way, just kind of like, could that be construed the wrong way? Maybe. So we did a couple safety takes where we changed the line very slightly, and then we did one where it was the original line. And the client was totally cool with that because they were on board with that.
Yep.
They were like, listen, we're making a game where we include these characters. We don't want to upset the people who are going to see themselves on screen for the first time, you know? And that's huge. That's so huge. Because, you know, where it really starts to change, at least for things like localization, is the clients. You know, they have to change the way they think about people of color. And it's a lot of the onus for that is on them because it's their properties that need to be converted. You know, and you saw stuff like that in The Promised Neverland, the anime that came out, the dub of that. You know, there was a character in there named Sister Crone, who, frankly, in the manga is depicted horrendously. I'm not even going to defend the artist on that. I think he or they or she should know that what they did in that manga was like inexcusably unokay. But in the anime, they take that character and they make her, she still looks like the character, but she doesn't look like a 1920s caricature of a black person.
Yeah.
You know? And it's great because the character's still terrifying. She's still scary. And she's played by, I think her name is Rebecca Thomas. I might be wrong about that. I know for sure her first name is Rebecca. But she's amazing. And it's important to as a studio localizing something, to be able to say to a client, hey, this isn't going to fly. Like, this isn't okay. And if we need to change the source material slightly so that it's right, let's do that. Let's make it so that it's acceptable in the current climate, because nobody needs to watch something and feel like they're being attacked. Nobody needs to watch something and go, what? No one needs to do that. No one needs to have that experience anymore, you know? So it's just cool to see it across the board.
I think that's the key word, now.
Yeah.
Now, here today in 2020, mm-hmm. with the availability of the diverse talent pool that all the studios, quite frankly, have access to, and for them to give excuses of A, B, and C, it's just not acceptable now.
Yeah, especially when there's so many POC casting directors and directors out there.
Right. Right. You
know, Stephanie Shea, Mami Okada, Jalen Castle, like these very talented voice actors in and of itself, copywriters, scriptwriters, translators, but also extremely talented directors who don't have a blind side. You know, they don't have a bias towards a white actor. They just hear good acting and they say, that's the person for the role. And that's why you see amazing castings like Ryan Colt Levi, like Zeno Robinson, like Anaris Quiñones, you know, who are extremely talented actors and talents in their own right, who deserve to exist in that space. And it's not because, well, we needed a diversity cast. We needed to check off a box. It's because they're fucking good. They're just they're good.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Gosh. It would bother me to no end whenever I would see specs that say urban voice, because you know,
define that.
Because we're trying to be diverse in our
It's like like just say what you want to say. You know, like if you're at least if you're honest about you know your inability to parse that information, we can at least be like, hey, I understand you don't really get what the appropriate verbiage is. Let's not use urban to try to describe the role that we're trying to cast, you know, because there are people who live in suburbia who have that accent, you know, and it's not any one person's accent. That is an accent that just exists culturally among numerous people of various colors. There are some people who shouldn't. There's some people who shouldn't talk that way and shouldn't use words that are exclusive to the people that need to say those words. But, you know, like saying like we need a black accent. What the fuck is that? What actually is that? Tell me what that is. Do you want a West African accent? Do you want somebody who sounds like they're from Chicago? Do you want somebody who sounds they're from the West Coast? Because I'm gonna let you know, black people are everywhere. They are everywhere. They're in Sweden. They're in Japan. They're everywhere, bro. So what are you looking for? And just say what you're looking for. You know, but yeah, it's really disheartening, especially when you see it attached to like we're running a criminal simulation. We're running a e-learning thing for police officers training. And I'm just I wonder what my character is. He's not the dispatcher. I'm willing to bet that what was his name? Paco. Yeah, I'm willing to bet Paco isn't the fucking dispatcher. I don't think he's just like, hey, we got some latos over here on the corner. They're starting some trouble. I don't think that guy's in charge of sending out the cops. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
It goes to show that we've come a long way, but we still have a long way to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't want to fault people for trying either.
Of course.
Like, you're going to learn along the way what isn't and is okay. And that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, like adjust as you need to and adjust. Like the thing is, too, what we're going to be upset about as a culture in 10 years is not going to be the same thing that we're upset about right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at Me Too. That whole thing was brought up from a boiling point of people just having enough of this culture that accepts sexual harassment in this industry.
Mm.
And God knows what that boiling point is going to reach 10 years from now. And if you're part of the people who has hurt somebody, you don't get to decide that you didn't hurt that person. You don't get to just take that pain and trauma away from somebody. If you hurt somebody, just apologize. Just apologize and mean it. And mean it from a real place, you know?
And then do better.
And do better. Exactly. Improve. Yeah. Improve. That's all that anybody can ask of anybody during the human experience, is just to be better than the person you were the day before.
And then I think the society changes. You know, if we would all think in that mindset, in that process of being true and authentic to who we are and what we've done, yeah. mended and have done better.
Yeah.
No change is going to happen overnight. Everybody knows that. But yeah. I think, you know, honestly and genuinely, I think that if we all would think in that mindscape, in that mindset, I think we'll see a lot of changes happen a lot quicker the way we want to go, you know?
Yeah. I think it's happening already, man. I think the thing is, the amount of people who are dissenting that movement are far and few between. They're just loud. They're just loud. That's the thing. They have nothing but time now to sit there and scream at you online about how anime doesn't need diversity. And, you know, cartoons don't need diversity because a black guy voiced Samurai Jack once. Like, no, shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Just stop talking. You're going to hear those people because they're the loudest. And frankly, they have 7 accounts made where they can retweet the same thing. I'm not going to just ignore it. You know, like, don't give any light to those people, because at the end of the day, I'm going to say something that Chuck Huber said to me, that Matt Damon apparently said to him, which is, you know, after winning MVT, MVT5, I got me and Melissa. Experience some choice opinions about our victory. And, you know, he told us in an email, kind of letting us know after seeing it the day after, you know, if people are coming at you in any way, and whether they're praising you or whether they're trying to tear you down, it must mean you're doing something right. Because success doesn't come without harsh critique or, you know, violent praise. It just doesn't. Either people are telling you that you're amazing all the time, or they're telling you that they hate you and everything you do sucks. But if that's happening, you're doing something right, you know?
Yep.
And I think that's just what the case is. You know, people, you know, crying about, you know, now there's black people voicing white characters, and there's Hispanic people voicing white characters, and now Kiss Anime has gone. I get it, guys. I get it. Like, things are changing. That's scary. You want a constant, you know? You want that safe harbor. You know, you want that port in a storm, especially right now. Everyone is terrified. Everyone is scared. Actively, I think to myself every day, what is going to happen if I catch this virus and die before I fulfill my dreams? That's something I face every single day. And it's paralyzing. It is paralyzing. It's the kind of thing that makes me lay in bed and, instead of doing anything productive, is just like, I wonder what strain of cannabis will be my activity for the day. That, like, it's haunting in a lot of ways. So you want that constant. You want that thing that you can return to, and it's just familiar, and it's just what you know, and it's what you love. But I promise you, the thing you love as it is right now is not as good as it could be. And the thing you love, more importantly, needs to be shared with other people, because there are other people out there who are hurting just as badly as you.
Yeah.
Who don't have the same access.
Yeah.
You know, who turn on an anime and then turn it off because there's no characters that look like them. Who go to watch a movie and then kind of tune out halfway through because there's nobody who understands their experience. You know? And it's when you look at it like that, yeah, I'm willing to be a little uncomfortable. If I have to think about what somebody's pronouns are before I address them every single time I do that, then yeah. Like, and as a male who was born cis and hetero, I don't understand that experience. I don't get that. You know what I mean? I don't get how you could be born in the wrong body. But I don't have to. That's not my job. I don't need to understand that person's experience. I just need to support them in that experience because that's the experience they're living.
Yep.
And if I have to remind myself that they're she instead of he, then I'm going to fucking do that. And if I accidentally call them something that they aren't, then I'm going to beat myself over that.
Apologize and do better.
Exactly. Because that's my fucking job. That's the least I can do. That's literally the least I can do is go on somebody's Twitter profile and be like, okay, they, them. Got it.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. Like it's
she, her. Yeah.
Or she, her, or he, him. Like, you know, or he, she. Like those, it's a spectrum. It is a spectrum. And we're learning more about ourselves as humans every day. You know, how we identify is so important to who we are as people. And if we don't have characters in media that represent us and how we feel, that is a solitary existence and a solitary experience that is isolating, that is, you know, seclusionary, and that's not healthy for anybody, you know? So I understand, you know, these people who are just like, well, you know, I'm white and I'm poor. And it's like, I get that. I understand that being poor isn't a unique experience to everybody. But when you look at, you know, the numbers, the majority of people who are poor are in that POC bracket. And it's you can't look away from it. You can't say, well, that's, you know, me being poor cancels that out. No, it doesn't. It's the same thing as all lives matter versus Black Lives Matter. We're not saying
there it is.
We're not saying all lives matter. We're not saying all lives don't matter. We're just saying there right now is. We're talking about Black lives.
Yep.
Right now we are talking about Black lives. And you know what? People who speak my language, children who speak my language, are across the country somewhere in cages right now, sleeping on tinfoil covers as beds, haven't showered, aren't eating real meals. But right now we're talking about Black lives. My people can come next. It's not about someone's more important all the time. It's about, listen, it's a domino effect. Right now we're trying to knock over this one massive, giant fucking domino that, frankly, the government has had rooted in the ground. And we're trying to knock it over so that we can pave the way for everybody, for everyone. But we have to tackle one thing at a time. And if you look at who has been the most oppressed, I don't think it's hard to see who that is.
Yeah. You know? Hello.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's hard to see who that is. And I think even to just kind of predict what comes next, the Native American in this country has suffered immensely in just the last 5 years even.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You look at that pipeline fiasco and like these people are having their sacred land, the land that was promised to them, poisoned by bureaucratic interest and literally nothing else. So it's not about all lives matter. It's about, yes, all lives matter, but right now it's Black lives.
Yeah.
And when it's time, it will be somebody else's. But right now we've got to talk about this. And that's it.
You know, I'm going to start tweeting all lives matter when all lives matter.
Exactly. Yeah. When it actually fucking does. Yeah. When it feels like that's a real thing. Yeah, exactly. We can all be all lives matter. You know what? Even at that point, I'd be like, yeah, blue lives matter, too, because at that point, hopefully, if that's the case, blue lives aren't taking all lives. They aren't taking Black lives. They aren't taking Hispanic lives. They aren't taking Asian lives. They aren't taking people with that urban accent. They're not taking their lives. I mean, even Elijah McClain, if you listen to that kid, he didn't have an urban accent. He still got shot. He still got killed.
Mm-hmm.
A kid who was vibrantly artistic, played the violin. Like, my God, I can't think of an instrument more. when you look at these people who get killed, they're literally picturesque, perfect citizens of society. And they're still just like, well, they resisted police. What the fuck? What do you mean? He played violin. He weighed all of 120 pounds. How did he resist anybody? You know what I mean? And it's heartbreaking. And it's there's no excuse for it. It's just,
and at the same time too. I think that because of that, because stories like that, because of instances like that, it's now more important than ever for the people who have a platform, no matter the size, to lead the way, to speak up, to demonstrate and be a role model. If they want to be or not, I suppose that's up to their own discretion and prerogative. Right. At the same time, because I have a platform, no matter however small it may be, I think it's important. I think I'm being socially responsible, culturally responsible for now and for the future of all the young voice actors that are part of my follower number, on whatever platform it may be. I think it's rather important that I demonstrate and model what a better society should look like.
And what I love about you, June, specifically, is that you don't run away from your ethnicity or your culture or your heritage at all. When instead of going LOL, you type that, I don't know what the character is. It looks like a backwards F, but that's how you laugh. And I love that shit. I love that. I love when people change the basic color of the emoji to the color they are, because when you see a thumbs up and it's a black hand instead of a white hand, I love that.
Yeah.
When you go on people's profile and I have the Cuban flag on my profile for that reason, because I want Afro-Latinos and I want Latinos to understand that we can do this. You know, and you especially, June, I just want to kind of harp on you a little bit. I know it's a podcast about me, but fuck me. We're going to talk about you for a second. You are paving the way for not just, and I think maybe just Korean actors, but I think it's more important than that. You're paving the way for accented actors, because you don't have a neutral American, a general American, a West Coast, whatever accent that's traditionally marketable. You know, like, you have a very slight foreign accent, and it's beautiful. There's nothing wrong with it. And it's just as good and just as authoritative and just as commanding as any other voice out there. So I'm hoping from that, from you continuing to just kind of lay that groundwork for actors like you, that eventually we're going to start hearing commercials for Chase Bank and Coca-Cola with actors that have accents. You know, because that is the American experience. That is the American dream, is that anybody can do this. You know, it's not just, you know, who sounds like Brad Pitt or Morgan Freeman or whatever. Matthew McConaughey, I think I've seen like a million times. I don't know why everybody wants to hear Matthew McConaughey during the pandemic. I think that would be horrifying. Just, hey, how you doing over there? You doing all right? Hey, everything's real fucked up right now. I just want you to know, I'm cool and still rich. I don't want to hear Matthew McConaughey. I'm stressed. Was that a good Matthew McConaughey? That's the first time I've ever
done that. No, that was terrible. But I'm so glad because you performed.
Good. All right. But
Yeah, I'm on the same boat with you. I really, the day that I received the audition and book a spot for Ford Mustang.
Yeah.
What a day would that be?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's not like you're not like people don't drive they don't drive those trucks. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like only white people can afford Ford Mustangs or afford or can afford a Lamborghini. You know what I mean? Like, I long for the day when the luxury voice becomes somebody who sounds like Antonio Banderas, or becomes somebody who sounds like you, or sounds like Anjali. Because there's people who are just horribly underrepresented in every form of media, whether it's screen or stage or voice acting. I mean, I think you uniquely know how difficult it is to cast for Korean voice actors.
It's a struggle, my friend. Yeah. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Jeez. And it's not like Koreans are less talented. You guys are amazing. Like, BTS is blowing up in huge numbers because they do something that is so authentically them and so authentically their culture. I mean, there are songs where they're doing traditional dances from Korean culture, and it's fucking gorgeous. Like, it's just like, it looks like a Baz Luhrmann production. It's so colorful and explosive and beautiful. And what people are learning is that you know, Western culture is a couple, it's a color palette for sure, but it's very limited. And if we expand beyond that and we accept, you know, other people's palettes, we have a better, we can paint a better picture, you know, a more realistic, a more beautiful picture, a more vibrant picture, a more alive picture than what we have right now. I'm not saying we can't do amazing stuff with what we have right now, but it could be better. Everything could be better. Everything could be improved.
And I think as long as we keep moving in this direction, with you in the driver's seat, with me in the driver's seat in our respective Ford Mustangs, I really think the change is happening.
Well, see, I know how to drive, so it would probably be like a Nissan Altima.
As long as it's stick shift, right? That's.
I'll be honest, I don't know anything about cars. Automatic, all the way to go. If it's got a computer in it, I want it.
No.
Yep. Absolutely. Nissan Altima 2.5 for the gallon. It's done. It's done. I can assert my dominance that way. That's how I can prove that I'm a man. I'm stronger than you. You don't know anything about cars? Yeah. You want to punch me in the face? See how that goes.
And looking forward to the future, painting a more vibrant photo, picture drawing with more palettes and colors, I think it really is the way to go and is the direction that the industry is, in fact, moving in. So I'm rather happy to see all these things. And if we're going to talk about future, let's bring the conversation back to you. I'd love to hear more about that, on where you're going in terms of some short-term goals you've set up and some long-term goals you'll set up.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy because a lot of the short-term goals that I had at the start of the pandemic, I've actually hit a lot of them. I can't talk about any of it. But like, you know, I'm like I said, kind of in the middle. I did book my first national commercial with a really large, you know, manufacturing company. More money than I've ever seen on any job ever for anything.
NDA, say no more. Yeah.
And you know, I'm in a live action. I'm in a couple live action dubs that are, you know, going to come out soon. And I'm in a fairly large video game with honestly talent that I feel like I have no
imposter
right being
syndrome.
In the room with. Yeah,
imposter syndrome.
It's that. So I frequently go back to Alexander Hamilton because I draw so many parallels between that musical and my life. But you know, when Aaron Burr is singing about being in the room where it happens,
yeah,
I'm in that room, man, and the people that are in there are intimidating. It's like standing next to Titans, really, because you're just under their shadow. And you're just like thankful for the shade, but also like, but also please don't step on me. I'm just here. I'm in a blanket for it, please. But it's really cool, man. It's really cool. Right now, my only real goal is to just kind of keep working and just keep putting out quality work. Because at the end of the day, I was saying this to my friend, Brandon, that. I just want my work to be a reflection of how much I love it. Because like I said, this is all that's ever been on the bucket list, man. This is all I've ever wanted. And it's surreal to me that I wake up every single day and people that like I've been a fan of for decades have suddenly followed me or are DMing me opportunities. And it's like, I don't even know how to fathom what's happening. I don't know how to process it, but I'm going to do my absolute best to make sure that you didn't put your confidence in the wrong person because this is it. This is all I've ever wanted and what I've been preparing for. And it really is opportunity meets, you know, practice plus preparation. You know,
That's right.
It's just, you just work. You just work and work and work and work and work until you get your shot. And then you make sure you're ready when you get your shot. That's it.
And you did not throw it away. So
yeah,
there you go.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, short-term goals right now, I think right now the next thing on the bucket list is just anime. I just want to get into anime. That's it. Because that's kind of what started it for me, man. When I was a kid watching Inuyasha, like in my living room with nobody there, pretending that I was Richard Cox, pretending that I was Inuyasha or pretending that I was Koga or something and acting with the characters on screen. That was my first time. Like really playing.
What a moment.
Yeah. You know, like that would be full circle for me, is if I could get into anime. And if that, once that happens, I mean, it's just, I don't have goals after that, I don't think. I think it's just,
I could die happily.
Yeah. I could just put a fork in me. I'm done. the first anime I'm in, I'm just like, all right, I'm quitting. See
That's
y'all
it.
Later.
Thank
Can't
you.
Follow that
Bye.
Up.
Equipment for sale.
Exactly. That's how I felt after NVT, man. Like, cause it's like, you know, I won NVT 5 with Melissa, and that was surreal. And then shortly after that, I won Evil Idol 2019.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, no more contests. I don't want to, I don't want to set this expectation up that I win every contest. Because I don't know how those happened. I don't know how I won. I couldn't tell you the formula that I followed for how that happened. And at the end of the day, the NVT 5 was a hat draw. So I didn't even really, you know what I mean? Like, I got to the end because of my skill, but how I got there, I don't even know. And I think that's important for people to know, too, like people who may be just starting listening to this podcast or, you know, actively pursuing it but aren't quite where I'm at. Understand that everybody you look up to in whatever position they are, I don't care who they are, Jim Cummings, Steve Bloom, Tara Strong, none of us have any idea what we're doing. We don't. Like, we have practiced and practiced and practiced to the point where some of the stuff we do is muscle memory, but none of us really know what we're doing. We don't really have a handle on what's going on. We don't know. We couldn't sit down in a room and tell you, hey, this is how we're booking all this work, because we don't know. We just know that it clicks. And when it clicks for you, when that switch goes off, and suddenly you understand what a conversational read, suddenly you understand how to do this character in a believable way while also being a cartoon and being over the top and extreme and crazy. Once that clicks, there's no turning back from it. It's a snowball. It's just downhill. And it's sometimes it's slow, sometimes it's overwhelmingly fast, and I have panic attacks. But, you know, either way, it's a snowball. And once that ball starts rolling, man, that's it. You're off. You know, just stick with it is the thing. Because some people, they have that, and then it's 5 years of silence before they get their next thing. And that's just how it happened. That's what happened with Zeno. You know, it was for him, it was Ben 10, and then all of a sudden it was Hawks. And now he's, I mean, to call his rise meteoric is an understatement, because the man is so unbelievably talented. He's so unbelievably diverse, so unbelievably versatile. And it's because he stuck out with it, because he was tenacious, because this is what he wanted.
Yep.
And that's it.
It's pursuing happiness, yep. As I keep saying every single day in those videos. It's about knowing, it's about self-awareness.
Yeah.
Knowing that it clicked. Knowing that the direction that you're heading is the right one, because it brings happiness, because happiness wells up from within you. And this is something that I wish everybody would experience.
Yep. Because and just getting through today and so you can get through tomorrow, you know? That's it.
Speaking of tomorrow, if this heat wave continues this way tomorrow, and
I'm
sure
hang
it
myself.
Will, damn it. And I'm going to need something more stiff than what I drink on a daily basis, because I need it. What's your favorite go-to take the edge off in a glass? What is that?
Maker's 46.
Oh, dang. Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty specific.
Yeah. Maker's Mark 46. It's oh, man. It's a whiskey. And it's just so smooth. Okay, so like I'm a bourbon whiskey guy. I like dark liquors. I don't really mess with the clear stuff. I'm not trying to like get a colonoscopy. Chill out. People who drink vodka, I'm just like, what are you trying to run away from? Like, are you okay? Do you want to talk? You know? No, for me it's whiskey, man. Whiskey in general, but I love Maker's 46 because I think the bottle, for one, is amazing. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's like a clear bottle, and they dip the cap in red wax.
Yeah.
So it's always unique. And, you know, it's just really smooth and it pairs really well with bitters if you want to do like an old fashioned, any kind of whiskey cocktail that you can make. I feel like that's like the Shangri-La of like, also SoCo, that Southern Comfort, like it's cheap, but don't knock it, man. Like if you like Jack and Coke, mix it with SoCo. That's like a cherry Jack and Coke. It's pretty good. I'm just saying, you know, but yeah, like that's typically when I did drink. I haven't drank since the pandemic started because I am scared of my tendencies. but yeah, that was my go-to when I would drink it. Like, a Jack and Coke, double on the rocks, if anything.
See, there's that self-awareness right there. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, just knowing what your problems are. You know, to kind of touch on it too. My dad was a drug addict, so I've experimented. You know, I've played, I've dabbled.
Yeah.
But always in a safe environment and in moderation, because anything that you can consume, if you consume it out of moderation, it's dangerous. Period.
Yeah.
You know, so you just take care of yourself and be mindful of what you're putting into your body and be aware of the effect it could have. And just, you know, be around people that you trust when you do that. Not like, you know, Skeeter, who you just met at the bowling alley, you know, like don't hang out with that guy when you drop acid the first time. I promise it's not going to be a fun or enlightening experience. Skeeter's going to turn into a dragon. You're going to have a bad time. Just go home, turn on The Simpsons, chill out. The colors will be cool. But, you know.
If you were to dabble some more, let's say in an hour, you know, and then you have a vision, get transported into somewhere else, what would be a current anime that you'd like to voice yourself in?
Oh, my God.
Just one.
Oh, I'm trying to think of like, shit. Oh my God, there's so many. I mean,
the number one, the top spot.
There has not been an anime. It's going to sound so like pandery. There's going to be people who are just like, oh, Zeno follows him and he's trying to. But My Hero Academia, man. I think that has been the best anime to come out in a long, 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 long time. Like, I love anime. There's so much popcorn. There's so much junk food. There's so much garbage. Like, it's all good. Don't get me wrong. It's all good. It all serves a purpose. But, like, My Hero Academia struck a chord with me in so many ways. Even just the first episodes when you know, Deku is talking to All Might and he's looking at his mentor and he's not who he expected him to be. He's a human being with a wound that is wreaking havoc on his body, and he's weak, he's downtrodden, he's losing his edge. And Deku is literally what's happening there is Deku is watching the hope for humanity die. And All Might looks at him and says, you can do this too. When Deku grabs his chest and collapses to the ground, I have never felt anything like that. That has been so resonant with my own experience. The first time I sat down with my real voiceover coach, and it was just an hour session, you know. I don't want to drop their name because I don't want people flooding to them to try to get taught, you know. But just an hour session, and we read through some copy, and it was just getting familiar with copy and getting familiar with how to read, and that was it. And he immediately picked up on, like, you don't even have to look at the copy, do you? And I was like, I mean, I glance. And he's like, I can tell. And as we're going through, you know, he stops me in the middle of a piece of copy, and he's just like, you know what, I'm gonna stop you real quick. I'm gonna let you know right now, where we're at, what I'm teaching you right now, you have no use for. He was like, you are at a level currently where we need to be tackling more complex material, because whatever it is you need to have to be successful in this industry, I'm telling you right now, you have it. And that moment for me, I couldn't process it when he said it. But that moment for me was like, it was like a singularity. Hmm. It was like a supernova going off. It was everything, the Tetris pieces all falling into place and some things, and the universe saying, hey, you have wanted this for so long. Here it is. All you have to do is chase it. And that for me was such a huge resonant point that like I had to stop the episode and bawl my eyes out because that was when it sank for me. That was when it really hit for me that like, oh my God, I have a booth in my room with a microphone and a boom arm and a computer that I can record out of. I'm a voice actor.
Yep.
And there's nothing in my life can ever take this time away from me. You know, if you know, I don't want to, I'm going to knock on wood when I say this because I don't want to tempt any of the fates. But if I died today, I could be fulfilled straight up. I can't think of anything else in my life that has brought me this level of fulfillment and happiness.
Because it's
what I know I'm supposed to be doing, you know. There's nothing like finding out what your purpose is in life, and I hope that everybody can find out what that is one day, you know.
Let's make sure that you can continue down the path where you keep maintaining and energizing that happiness. And if people would like to contribute to your journey, you know, by communicating, by relating, by sending you a message of encouragement and hope and some hate, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, because that's helpful too. Yeah. No, honestly, bring it on.
No, absolutely, right? I completely agree.
Yeah. Let me know how hard I'm working and how good I'm doing.
Where can they go to find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me everywhere, pretty much at Luis Bermudez, V-O, L-U-I-S-B-E-R-M-U-D-E-Z, V-O. Twitter, Instagram, I'm not as active on there. Sometimes it's just taking pictures of my animals. I do have a Facebook. I do want to point out that is strictly for like personal relationships. So, you know, if you know me and if we've talked, you know, a good amount, then you can definitely find me on there. And, you know, LinkedIn. I mean, the thing is, I leave all my stuff open for people to reach out to me however they can, because I'm never the person who's going to tell you to go to iwantabeavoiceactor.com, honestly. Not that there's anything wrong with the people who do that. But if you need guidance in a real way, if you need help in a real way, if you have questions in a real way that you want to ask from that respectful place, I am more than happy to take, you know, a few minutes and answer those questions or point you in the right direction where you can get those answers, because I just want people to know what it's like to feel this feeling that I have. You know, and if I can give a little bit of that to someone else, that's the dream. That makes it all worth it, you know. That makes everything I went through from my childhood up until now worth it. Because if I can take somebody who's in that scenario where they're living the hardest life they've ever had to live and give them something, a light at the end of the tunnel or something to grasp onto and hold onto to get them out of this, to get them through the day, to get them through, you know, the season. That's it. That's all I want.
And you'll do it. Just like you said, you know, you put your mind to it and you're going to do it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as it's as simple and as complicated as that.
Exactly. Exactly. It's only as complicated as you make it out to be.
Luis, I want to thank you very much for your time and for your stories,
man.
And sharing a bit about yourself and a bit of yourself here with us. It's been a super fun conversation, and I'm sure everybody listening, number one, know that you're an amazing person, and Alaska fishing, my God.
if nothing else, they'll know that I worked in Alaska. If nothing else, they'll be like, oh, like, that was the dude who worked on a boat.
I really do hope that people reach out to express their, hopefully some gratitude and maybe some relevancy and resonance. And let's continue to work together to move this industry forward along with the people in it.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for having me. I've been wanting to have this conversation with you for so long. You've been, you have been my own little guiding light in this industry for a long time. And whenever I feel like I am not owning up to the onus of what I should be as somebody with a platform, I can always look at you to kind of center me where I should be. Because frankly, I'm gonna be honest, I'm a grown ass man. I don't need to be giving all this attention to all these kids. So I every now and again, when I see you just like, hey, let's have a conversation about that, that brings me so much joy and so much comfort and so much inspiration to continue to be a better person, you know, especially because I saw you talking about how you are dealing with trying to not be an abusive person. And same, exactly the same. My father was a monster. My father was, is, and died a monster. And there is nothing more in this life that I want to avoid being than him. And I think you and I resonate on that on a specific level. So, you know, thank you for having me. Thank you for bringing me on. Thank you for continuing to always be my port in a storm, man. You are amazing. I have nothing but love for you. Oh, shut up.
This is not how I wanted to end the podcast, Luis.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what we do here. We defy expectations, new podcast format.
We're supposed to just shake hands and bring it to an end.
There you go. Go cry for 30 minutes. That's what, man, I just did to you.
Seriously, the next chance you get, buy that Southwest Airline ticket and get your ass out here so we can eat.
I will.
Honestly.
I will. Hopefully when this is all done, man, LA will be where I live.
For
we'll
sure.
See.
For sure.
We'll see.
I will definitely see you here and feed you some good Korean barbecue and soju for
Please.
Sure.
This has been Voice Actor Showcase. Visit our website at voiceactorshowcase.com. If you'd like to be featured on this podcast, contact us at voiceactorshowcase.com. Thanks for listening.
Hello, my name is Eric Howell, and I'm the podcast editor for Voice Actors Showcase.
Whoa! Hey, get back! I'm trying to make a commercial here!
Anyways, if you have a podcast that needs editing, or you would like to make a voice acting demo reel, you can reach me at thepodcastdoctor@gmail.com, and I'll be with you right after I slay this dragon.
No, you! Come back here!